Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Joe, if you ever land a girl and want to procreate, you know what you need, right?
Hey, what do I need?
The Legacy Test Stack, of course.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Listen to this customer testimony from Alec in Virginia, who gave us permission to read this on the air. This is from our friends at LegacySubs.com. I'm a father of one, which came with ease. We've been trying to have another kid for 3.5 years now. I tried multiple things, including fertility drugs, but with no luck. I've been using the Test X9 and T-Assist for a month now. And I went to the doctor and took a sperm sample. My count was at 80%. It's never been anywhere close to that before. My wife took a pregnancy test 2 days later. And now she's pregnant. I don't know for sure if it's because of the products, but it's the only thing I've done differently. And all signs point to this being the key to my family's new expected child. And there are no words to express how much I appreciate that. I'm very particular about what supplements I use. But when I saw that Nick Aldis was behind this, I knew it had to be quality. So you have a loyal customer for life. Unquote. I think that testimony says more than we ever could. So get your baby maker and go to LegacySubs.com and use the code K100 for 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySubs.com and the code K100 for 10% off. You got to give these products a try.
Yeah, and we get guys sending us pictures of weight that they've lost, people telling them that they use it when they got to study and concentrate. So they've been with us how long, Joe? 2 years?
Couple of years, yeah. And don't forget Jay Baca, who we had on our roundtable this week, longtime listener, is just an avid user of Legacy Subs. He came on, he looked a lot skinnier, and we found out he lost 70-80 pounds down from, yeah, 380 or whatever he's trying to get down further. But that's an amazing amount of weight to lose, and he looks good.
Get all your nutrients, all your supplements. They also have a woman's line done by Mickey James. You can check that all out at legacysubs.com. Boom.
All right, let's get to the mail. This is Scott DeMore I want to start off with. From Richard Hernandez, the subject is TNA Impact better than AEW? Scott DeMore is cool. I just want to add to Roy's review for the Ultra Clash show, which was incredible. I was there, and you're right. It's not the average public that attends the shows regularly. In my case, I've been a TNA fan since 2004. I have all the bootleg DVDs of Spanish audio from Conan and Moody making fun of Sting promos or a fat lady in Ron Killen. Oh, by the way, I know probably this is going to give you a yellow card, but I ran into Scott Tuckles D'Amore at the end of the show. Very nice and cool guy. Well, my question is,
a yellow card.
Voiceovers for this with Moody, Conan?
What?
What did you and Moody used to do? You used to do Spanish audio for TNA?
We used to do Spanish commentary, right? And we were both super pissed at the company, so we would just go into business for ourselves. And
right. I can only imagine. There's nobody else.
And tell road Spanish stories. Or...
I can only imagine, huh? Just nobody else spoke Spanish
or, right, understand what or gave a fuck just, about the show. Right. this guy, listen to what this guy would do. He had a bottle of Jack Daniels under his desk. Right. And anytime something happened where he popped, he'd take a swig on the air and go, Jack. And only me and him knew what he was talking about. And then I don't know if you remember, they used to sell turkey legs there. Remember? Inside
the
building.
Yeah.
And they would bring us turkey legs and we'd be eating on the air. And
oh, man.
Just whoever we didn't like got buried.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Baby faces or heels, so, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, my question is, if this show came out great, why not take advantage of this work relationship with TNA instead of AEW? I know a lot of people complain about that TK removed wrestlers from the AAA events, but with TNA, you have wrestlers who like the Lucha Libre style and even look happy to be here and enjoy the show. I really hope you can come back to Monterey with another AAA TNA event soon.
The question
is, why not take advantage of the work relationship with TNA instead of with AEW? Like, why don't you work with TNA more?
We haven't worked as much as them because they didn't have as the big names that we needed for big shows. But they do have some names there. But I think there were seven matches. Everybody bought it. Scott was happy. The AAA office was happy. I think we will come back to Monterey with another show. Plus, we're talking with Scott about maybe doing some shows in some Hispanic cities because it was a really good show and everybody enjoyed it all the way around. So why not do it again?
Next is from S420. I got a question here, Joe. This is the kid. The subject is mailbag, and I got to think that this is somebody making up emails and trolling us because it seems like every single week we have a question about this or the beach.
Yeah.
And literally every week now, right? It's like 5-6 weeks
in a
row.
Very frequent.
All right. Question for Conan and Disco. Do you guys remember participating in the MTV Snow Brawl show back in 1999? You guys were in a battle royal with Bryan Adams when Conan came to the ring riding a snowmobile. Any fun or memorable stories from the show? Sorry if this has been asked before. Well, it has been asked before repeatedly. And I just pointed out. Yeah. So just real quick, I vaguely remember it. They had that hot model chick was there. Her name is James King. She ended up blowing up and like becoming pretty popular back in the day. It was kind of weird because like I didn't grow up in the snow or never went skiing. Right. I was surprised at like how much snow there was for as warm as it was out. It wasn't freezing 30 degree cold. And there was like tons of snow everywhere. And I was like, there's like a little chilly. And I thought that was interesting because I thought like, it had, I don't know. It's just whatever. It was just the MTV stuff we did. So we were cross promoting everywhere. We were popular. The show was over huge.
So, the last time that somebody asked us about this, and you and I had little recollection, I saw it on the YouTube not too long ago. So I have a better memory now than I did back then.
Right.
First of all, if you remember this, I do remember it was in Big Bear, California.
Big Bear, right.
That's where all the boxers
trained. Right, my ears were popping going up the hill. Like we were really high up.
We were really up there. Yeah.
Yeah.
What a great entrance in a snowmobile.
All right.
Okay. I remember they showed the Nitro girls there. I remember this, but I saw him. Rob Zombie was there, which maybe the rock and roll.
Yeah, he was on commentary. He was on commentary too. Yeah.
He was on commentary with Jimmy Hart. I forgot who the other guy was.
Zabisco.
And this, I didn't even know this till I saw it. Or it was a disco. Mm-hmm. Stuttering John was there. Do you remember that disco?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't until I saw him in the ring.
Yeah, Stuttering John was on the Howard Stern show and then on MTV with WCW in the late 90s, and now in 2023 is in a feud with Husey. So,
oh my God.
That's crazy.
Well, he's just like you put him in a decompression chamber and he just got lower and lower. Is there anything lower than Husey?
It's like the Rocky story told backwards, right? Starts at the top of it. The first scene of Rocky's wrestling, he's fighting for $20 in that barn somewhere, right?
The one thing that I loved about the show, if anybody watches on the video, do you remember what happens post match?
No.
Okay, so this guy wins the what's his name? One of the Chronic
Brian Adams.
Brian Adams wins the thing, right? I get on the mic, tell him, you know, to toss my salad and all that. I drop kick him. And then you get into the ring. We kind of go at it and they start throwing snowballs at you. Do you remember that?
Vaguely. I remember more getting shit thrown at me at the ICP shows. So
no, but that was fun because it snowballs. You don't see that on TV.
Yeah. Next one's from Robert Bailey Jr. And the subject is a question about character development. Gentlemen, two-part question for Conan D.I. In WCW, when you pitch ideas for your characters, you go to the head booker, you sign a middleman to develop your ideas more before getting to the booker. I ask because with AEW's voluptuous roster, I've noticed stories fizz out with no proper development or continuation. Wonder if this happened to you guys in WCW, where some great ideas never get a proper ending or are left on the cutting room floor. Finally, do you feel the AEW booking could go further with someone who works with fleshing ideas out more consistently and then reporting back to Khan for logical payoffs, or should TK be able to shoulder the load? That's warm regards from Robert Bailey Jr. Conan, you like to pitch ideas. We would always go to Terry Taylor first. He was always a good middleman to take stuff. If you pop Terry Taylor, he would take it to like Eric or Kevin. And I popped Terry Taylor a few times. Like I popped Terry Taylor about convincing him to give Ernest Miller the mic, you know, and stuff like some other things for my character. Like me and Terry Taylor booked the angle where I came up with the cheat sheet for the move my uncle gave me back home. Like what I, you know, that thing. But who would you go to, Conan? Would you go to Terry? Would you go to Kevin?
No, I'd go to Kevin or I'd go to Terry, because right. Kevin had a really good mind for what was good. You know what I'm saying? Right, He'd tell you this is good, this isn't.
Right. Yeah. Well, my relationship was with Terry more. And AEW, but yeah, well, Tony needs help. We've spoken about this on the show. He definitely needs help. Somebody tweet. There's some guy. Who's this guy? Rosenberg. Did you see this tweet, Joe?
Pete Rosenberg. He does WWE pre-shows and stuff like that. And he was a New York DJ.
He made a great point on his New York DJ show. He was like, it's hysterical that, you know, that WWE, like the AEW fan base came from like a groundswell of people that were just fed up with the WWE. Right. And right. 4 or 5 years, and like a lot of people were fed up with WWE. We were very frustrated having to watch these shows and talk about, like, say that they're lame and stuff, right?
Right.
But the thing was, this guy points out how, you know, they were pissed because it was just that the show was being written for one guy, Vince McMahon. He was like controlling everything and people were just fed up with that. He says, let's fast forward here to AEW. The same things happen in AEW. It's one guy, Tony Khan, booking everything. Like he has his fingerprint, like nothing gets approved unless it goes through him. And it's just funny that the fan base that, like, you know, quit watching the one show or hated the one show because it was just being controlled by one guy are now gravitating, like they're fans of this show. And it's under the same premise that the WWE ran under that caused everybody to hate it in the first place, which is true. You know, what do you think of that?
Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. Yeah. There is a lot of truth to that. Yeah.
Bro, this is too fat. That show is going to be stuck in the mud until Tony gets help, period. He just needs help booking because there's too many flat segments, storylines that go nowhere, guys doing nothing, random guys on TV.
I think that maybe he's like, it's my money. I'm going to do what I want. If it survives, it survives because I made the final decision. I didn't listen to other people that didn't give me the best advice with the best interest of the company in mind.
Right.
You know, but even the smartest guys at any level always surround themselves with smart people, because you can't do everything and you can't delegate everything. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
Yeah. Like when you guys brought me on board, K100 was like, you know, it's a rising boat with the, how does that go? Rising tide lifts all boats.
You don't even know the name of
Conan, guess what?
What up?
French ball fall is upon us, and you need to be in the festive spirit. Light a candle, get some pumpkin spice, and make sure your balls look nice with the sponsors of today's show. Guess who they are? Manscaped. So nature may clear the leaves of their trees, but you'll need Manscaped's help to get you ready for the sweater weather. Get your pants puppies prepared for cupping season with a trim as refreshing as a fall breeze by going to manscaped.com and using code K100 for 20% off plus free shipping. So it's getting chilly outside, so it's time for flannels and cozy socks. But we can't forget to trim your balls, okay? You've heard of them. I mean, a lot of our listeners, you know this is one of our favorite sponsors. But it's time for them to join the ones that haven't. It's time for them to join the 9 million men worldwide using Manscaped and get the kit that covers it all. The Performance Package 4.0. It's all you need. It starts with the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer with advanced skin-safe technology that reduces nicks and cuts to make raking the leaves a lot less painful. Plus, the lawnmower, it has a 7,000 RPM motor, a multifunction on-off switch that can engage a travel lock, and a built-in 4,000K LED spotlight to help you see your parts of your body you haven't looked at in years. So once you've cleared the driveway, the Performance Package comes in hot with products to cool you down. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, I know Joe uses that and probably has to sleep with his wife.
Damn
and the
right.
Crop Reviver Ball Spray Toner, one to prevent stink and one to clear it up. And with a soothing aloe vera formula, move over pumpkin spice, fresh balls in the smell of the season. So the Performance Package 4.0 caps off with two free gifts. Now, I'm not lying. The Manscaped boxers are the most comfortable boxers you'll ever wear. I mean, Cody, how many pairs you got? I've got like four pairs of these.
A lot. I got like 10. Yeah.
Yeah, and the Shed Travel Bag. And it's a pretty cool bag to travel with. Perfect size. Got to put all the things in there. And that's one to hold your Manscaped goodies and one to hold your man goodies. So bring in the fall right and get 20% off and free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off. It's a great deal with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code K100. As the leaves fall, make sure you have it all with Manscaped.
The great thing about this, even though they say it's for your nether regions, you can use it on your arms, your legs, your chest, under your arms, your head. Obviously, use a different one. And, you know, it comes with all sorts of deodorants and crop preservers. Joe used to suffer from swamp ass until he started to use the crop preserver. And
Light
now
saver.
He smells halfway decent.
Yeah.
This is a must-have. So check it out. All three of us use it. All three of us swear by it. Stay groomed. Go to manscaped.com. Boom.
Yeah. Next from Hank Beanie, subject is match tape. Hey guys, it's an interesting interview with Roy Lucier. Mm-hmm. Lucier said that Chris Jericho and Benoit would both reach out to them in the early 90s to get tapes of matches. Jericho would want tape of his Mexico matches so he could rewatch, while Benoit wanted tape of future opponents. How much film would you and other guys watch back in the day to help improve your work? That's from Handsome Hank. P.S. A lot of people have been asking on YouTube, why was Hughie stop putting Disco's name in video titles? Almost all the titles now are Conan on. Is there heat there, or does Conan's name draw bigger numbers? I would suggest Conan's name obviously draws bigger numbers because he's been on the show. He has more followers than me on Twitter. I don't care about that. I don't care about the clickbait. like these guys, I care about the clickbait title. Like however he clickbait titles the headlines, I don't care if he used my name or not. It's like,
I didn't even understand the question. What's going on?
So when Hughie's on YouTube, if you go look at our YouTube thing, the thing would be like Disco on AEW's bad ratings, and it'd be a question right. From an email talking about okay. Now, like, sometimes you mix it up. Disco on, Conan on. Now it's, like, exclusively Conan on. Like he
like
uses,
that.
Like, maybe people just hate me so much that they don't want to use my name for the clickbait.
Do you know anything about this, Joe?
The YouTube thing with Hughie and using your name more often? No, I would imagine it's kind of like what Disco said, that you seeing your name, probably people might click on it more often.
Maybe the ones with your name in the headline do more views.
Because Disco's got
just ask him.
Disco's
just
got them boys heat at this point.
So go ahead and ask him that and see if there's metrics on my name, right?
Okay.
Next, hey guys. Oh, by the way, I would. There was a Japanese food store about a half hour drive from my house. Oh, no. Back then it was like a 15-minute drive that I would go to pick up Japanese tapes, and they have the All Japan and New Japan like 2 weeks of weekly TVs. You could rent the tapes. For like 3 days, and I would go didn't watch. I just watched I didn't watch anything specific. I just just watched the Japanese stuff. You know, so that's back.
And how come you don't understand Japanese wrestling that much?
I do understand Japanese wrestling that back then.
You're like, oh, the forearms and all the other
stuff. Back then it was Misawa, Kobashi, Kawada, stuff like
that. Yeah, they did forearms.
Yeah, but they wouldn't do it like they do today where you stand there and like, you know, just like they would exchange. And they were there, and Japanese wrestling, they threw forearms. That there weren't like a lot of, you know, like Terry Funk would punch, you know, but the Japanese wrestlers right. grew up doing the forearms, yeah. right?
The Americans really didn't throw forearms.
Right. And the juniors were incredible athletes back then. The New Japan juniors. What were these guys' names?
Tiger Mask,
Otani. Is that Otani's
from the 90s. That's when I was wrestling.
Yeah, I wrestled Otani. Right. Oh, did you really? Yeah. The old school New Japan juniors were just—they were doing what the Mexican guys were doing here. They were innovating, you know.
The first time we did a tour of New Japan, mm-hmm. and the first time that I wrestled Otani, I had just wrestled Chris Benoit the day before, and we literally beat the fuck out of each other.
Yeah.
And he goes, "That's the style here." So I went in there and I wrestled Otani, and I don't think he was expecting what I was going to bring.
Right.
And I just suplexed him, smacked him, clotheslined the fuck out of him. Well, the next day we were in his hometown, and bro, he beat the fuck out of me. And then the next day I had Chris Benoit again in like a tag team or something. And I was like, Chris, can we?
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Take it easy.
And he goes, no. Next is from Canito Cleveland, subject is AAA in Florida. Good morning, gentlemen. Longtime listener from the MLW days, but first time writing in. K-Dog and Disco, thank you for the bottom of my heart for the great memories as a kid. I love both your characters. You guys are a big reason why I watched WCW, and I recently watched AAA for the first time last week. Decided to watch Impact for the first time in years, and it was a AAA show. Fully enjoyed it. We'll be looking out for more. My question is, will AAA be in Florida, specifically the Orlando area, anytime soon? Orlando is a huge wrestling town with a large Hispanic community. I think it would do well here. I would definitely attend if it ever happens. Conan, keep blazing it up and throw one on the air for all of us to do the same. One love, and that's Nito from Orlando.
I recognize his name.
So the question is if we'll do shows in Orlando?
In Florida, specifically Orlando, anytime soon.
Yeah. We may with Impact because, like I said in previous letter, it's up to them what cities they want to do, but we are obviously targeting Hispanic cities. And also, you know, we're still negotiating the United States. Our TV deal, there's been a bunch of hurdles. You know, if it was that easy, everybody would have one. But as far as that, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Let me piggyback off that question. Do you know, as of yet, if AAA might run a show in Philly during WrestleMania weekend with WrestleCon or whatever?
I can pretty much guarantee you no.
Oh, shit.
Next is from Power Requires Hustle, subject to Spotify payouts.
That's King Cole.
That's his King Cole. Hello, friends. King Cole the rapper checking in yet again. There are lots of artists, Weird Al and Snoop Dogg, for example, they're upset about their payouts from Spotify. Snoop claimed he received $45,000 for over 1 billion plays. Weird Al received like 15 to 25 million of plays, 15 or 20 million for plays. And clearly the math is different for every artist depending upon their various distribution deals. My question is, do either of you feel like you've received a payout that you felt was less than you deserved? Also, how do you like seeing my boy Jelly Roll on Raw the other night? That man is on top of the world right now, and I'm proud to have to wrote some songs with him. Be safe, and God bless us, and King Cole. So King Cole wrote some songs with Jelly Roll, huh? That's interesting.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Joe, have you been upset, Joe? Because you're the one that handles Spotify, right?
Oh, no, I think we've had some really good years the past few years, but I think he meant overall, like even in your wrestling career and stuff, if you had any payouts.
Well,
you want,
if we talk about podcasts overall, 100%, we got fucked over by Podcast One.
For sure.
I will say this, even though he's on the list and he will forever stay on the list, Chris Jericho was really cool about it because there were times when I was like, fuck this shit. I don't want to do it anymore. And he actually sent me money to make sure that I kept doing the podcast. Then we went to, I think Joe might've been here for this. Did we go to CBS after podcasts?
Now we went, we started at Westwood and then we went to Podcast One and then we were with MLW for a little bit. I mean, we're independent.
Bro, we got fucked everywhere we went except here. So
yeah. And it shows you how you should have been getting paid all along, if not more from a bigger corporation, you know?
Yeah.
It's all good. Better late than never.
Yeah. Next is from Jim Lennon. Subject is Meltzer line again. I do not give an F about Okada. I don't care if he signs with WWE. I don't care if he signs with TNA, AEW, MLW, AAA, or even if he stays with New Japan. Simply not care about him, but I do love it when Meltzer gets caught out lying. Over the past few weeks, Dave Meltzer has reported that Okada is a soon-to-be free agent, that WWE has huge interest in him, which means based on Meltzer's recent track record, it means that Okada will or already is signed with AEW. This, along with Meltzer being dragged for his fake reporting on Elimination Chamber ticket sales, so you think that his rep is dead in 2024? But, bro, to everybody there, okay, Dave reported that Elimination Chamber has only sold 8,000 tickets and they're only supposed to, like, whatever. Like, he looked at some data and he obviously saw a number that was inaccurate and reported it, right? He's since come out and apologized, hey, and then said that. I saw this data pointed to it, but everybody's still like, liar, dude. It's like, dude, the guy writes. Every how many stories you think are in the Observer on a weekly basis?
15 to 20, you know, maybe, I mean, more. You know, and show reports. And
these
yeah.
people are dragging him just because he said, well, he got a number wrong and has come out and just apologized for getting the number wrong. And everybody's, it's like, come on, people, get a life.
Let me make a comment on this. I've known Dave a long time, as listeners to the show know. And he does a good job of checking sources because he checks them with me. And he's the only guy I know that has ever checked with me. Nobody else has ever said, hey, did this happen? Is this the way it happened? Can you give me context? He's the only guy. So why would he ruin his credibility? Because he's supposed to be, you know, like the, you know, the most popular.
Paper of record would be the best way to say it.
Paper of record. There you go. Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. Why would he ruin his credibility lying over shit that will come back to hurt him?
Right.
If everything is based on credibility, why would he do that?
Yeah, it's not. Bro, that's not.
Can he
lie.
Get shit wrong?
That's
of course
repeating
he can.
Stuff. That's just repeating a number. Like, you got a number wrong. Okay, that's like, you know, like, who cares? You know, like, people are dying for people to get stuff wrong so they can call them liars.
Yeah, it's the same people that were jumped all over you for the Dem
right.
Boys thing. Those
right,
type
exactly.
of people, easily triggered, easily offended. You know.
Right. And how's Okada's English? Have you met Okada before, Conan?
I have met him, but I don't remember him speaking good English, but I don't.
Yeah, I don't see him. The WWE, you know, just because this guy got high marks from Meltzer, that they'd really be interested. He was in TNA for years. Like, a guy, he spent like a year in TNA and never got over.
Yeah. Right,
you know, I mean,
well,
just like a regular
push him right, and that
well,
was.
Well, he's still a lot of ring time. I mean, bro, it's like if you're not getting pushed, you can still do things in the ring which get people to, like, you'll get behind you and stuff. And he's just like, I don't know, he's just a typical Japanese wrestler, Japanese style, just, you know, and I don't think they need the guy right now. They have a lot of top guys right now, and I think you'd like look at, I'll be a perfect example, freaking until now.
Nakamura.
What's his name? Nakamura came in and he was like the king of strong style Japanese, and like, he didn't really, and he had charisma, but the problem was they stuck a mic in front of him and his English was so bad, the way he talked, he sounded, you know, he had a rough time with it. It's just like, it hurt his marketability, you know what I'm saying? So Okada's kind
plus,
of more of a handsome guy
reason,
yeah, go ahead.
Plus also, you know, that was probably the last time I was watching New Japan when he was still there. And I loved his in-ring style. And for whatever reason, it didn't translate well in WWE.
Right. So guess what, Conan?
What up?
K100 with Conan and Disco is brought to you by Get Blitzed again. So Get Blitzed was created by Mickey Ray Sinatra from Mo Thugs, plus Courtney, the brains of the operation. The big product here, the number one seller, is their nano-infused THC syrup. This is the real deal THC, not the garbage they sell in the gas stations, which the gas station stuff is garbage. It is super potent, like THC on steroids. Has a 5 to 15 minute onset with as little as a teaspoon. And it works like alcohol, but with no hangover. You can take the teaspoon by itself, or you can mix it with water or soda, or whatever you want. You got flavors like cherry and grape, and both are delicious either way. So if you go to getblitz.com, that's getblitzed.com, and use the code K100, you get 50% off. Now, I've tried this, and it comes perfect as advertised. Nice little comfortable buzz, quick onset, you know, you don't need a lot of it, and it tastes delicious. So if you're looking to up your game and avoid low-quality imitations with shady ingredients, check out Get Blitzed now at GetBlitzed.com and use our code K100 to get 15% off. Order, enjoy, and let us know on Twitter or at K100Questions@gmail.com how your experience was. That's 50% off at the code K100 at GetBlitzed.com. Awesome product.
Okay, real quick, because we try everything on this show. Did you try it yet, Joe?
Well, I tried it before they were a sponsor, but the ones that Mickey just sent me, I tried this week, two nights. I used a little, I actually just
what
filled
flavor?
Up cherry, and I actually just filled up the cap, and I put it in with like Coke or Cherry Coke, and it tastes good. There's nothing medicine-y about it or whatever. It tastes good. I had a nice little buzz after 10 minutes, and then I slept really well. So, I mean, no complaints at all.
So let me tell you what my experience was. When I did mine and I did a tablespoon, put another tablespoon, I actually had the first one with orange juice and the second one with some vodka. The second one, bro, kicked in really nice. What I liked about it wasn't a hard buzz, and you know, so the nice little buzz, which you can keep kicking in by using more. Very, very, very nice. Highly recommended.
So that's 15% off with the code K100 at getblitzed.com, GetBlitzed.com.
Yo, get blitzed at getblitzed.com. Boom.
Next is from Matthew Ince. Subject is the Hardys versus Tony Khan. On the most recent episode of The Extreme Life, Matt Hardy got a lot of coverage for being very open about how unhappy he has been with how the Hardys have been booked in AEW. He's right. The booking has been terrible. They've really done nothing and absolutely is never booked as legendary names. On the other hand, why would they be booked well? I know that Matt and Jeff are real-life friends of yours, but you guys are just lying if you think they're not clearly in physical pain when they wrestle. Matt Hardy seems to walk with bow legs, and Jeff moves at half speed now. Tony Khan should have been fully aware of this before signing them. And at the same time, I'd love to know how you guys would book them to get them back on track, or if it was up to you, would you cut them from the roster? Now, Matt Hardy was basically just like when he left WWE, he was just Matt Hardy. He was trying to find things, but what rejuvenated his career?
Yeah, the delete thing.
Delete thing, which was produced by who? And that was basically Borash. Jeremy Borash producing cool content. It doesn't seem like AEW has the time, other than MJF and Adam Cole, producing like cool vignettes for that type of content.
I think if Matt came in, he left WWE or was released or whatever it was, and he came in AEW. But when he came in, it was the COVID era was starting. So when he comes in to do his big delete thing at the end of the show, the reveal, there was no one there to chant it. If he had a crowd there, it would have worked out better for him. But then when they were being used
remember when the wrestlers were the crowd? That was great.
But Jeff got in trouble again when he first arrived at AEW. He got in trouble pretty quickly. So that would have hurt them too, you know.
Let me just say this about that. It ain't like WWE booked a much better last go round after they returned to a tremendous reaction, but we're not talking about that. Yeah, they are messed up physically. Look at all the shit they did when they're young with all the tables and chairs and ladders and fucking Impact, all the shit, you know, Jeff was still doing, you know, and the roads and the drugs and the partying takes their toll. I wouldn't fire them because I think they deserve better than that, you know, but I would have them doing exactly what Disco said. I would have them doing all that delete shit and doing, you know, like...
Character work.
Right. Yeah, right. Maybe every now and then, maybe once or twice a year, they do a match, you know, where all their limitations can be hidden, where they just fucking maybe do a comeback or something. You know, they're really easy to work with. They have no egos. They'll help young talent. They could book, they could agent. There's a lot of shit you can do with them.
Well, let me make a good point here too, though. And let's be very, you know, honest. I like Matt Hardy. Like we like the Hardys, right?
Right.
You can't get over the fact that physically when you watch him work, he's got a bad hip. And he moves slow. Right. And that's problematic in that company where these guys are working at like it's, we're talking about vinyl records. Everybody's working at 45 speed and Matt Hardy's at 33. Okay.
Yeah, but let me just say this because I'll forget, Disco. If you only work them twice a year, once a year, something like that, it gives them a chance to heal up and you can put them in an easy match with somebody like Christian Cage who's going to take care of him.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
That was going to be my point. You put him in other guys that can work 33 speed.
Right.
These other guys, they're putting him in with like
Yeah,
the private part. Nobody knows
how to do it. Guys,
right, people that don't know how to adjust to your opponent's style. All they know how to get all their shit in and stuff, right? And so, like, did Matt not want to be left behind, is going out there working these guys' matches, and he just looks slow. Put him in there with a pro. Him and Jericho could do a good program. Jericho and Hardy, you know, like you could put Jericho and Omega against the Hardy boys to build it up with 3 to 4 weeks of TV based on their legacy and stuff. And they can work around the guy. You know what I'm saying? That's what you do with him. You put him in an angle where the
you don't put him in with young high flyers,
right?
Because private party's on your side.
Yeah,
and he's trying to keep up. God bless him, because he doesn't want to look bad. You know what I'm saying?
And then unfortunately, it's, you know, that's what's happening there. So, but they obviously still have value. And plus, too, just having him constantly backstage just recruiting people for his group has been a stupid storyline. That's like just lame, you know what I'm saying? So,
He's done nothing that's been good.
Right. Nexus of Germany. Nexus of Germany French fries. The subject is more AEW drama. I just watched your clip about Tony Khan allowed Danielson to fine AEW wrestlers for social media for media posts. But all I'd like to know is, do you guys think that this is just going to lead to even more behind-the-scenes drama with the Elite? When CM Punk came into AEW, he wasn't made a VP, but he pretty much could do anything he wanted to. I think he was made a VP, because he wasn't. But, bro, when he got fired, he had two contracts, right? An employee and a wrestler. Wasn't he?
That's right. Yeah.
I'm sure led to the behind the scenes fallout. With Danielson getting the level of behind the scenes power, do you think it's inevitable that more fallouts will happen? I mean, what exactly do the Elite guys do anyway? We know producing good video games or selling merch is part of the job. Bro, I'm telling you what, I wasn't a fan of Bryan Danielson years and years and years and years ago, because everybody said he was the greatest wrestler in the world. And I was like, this guy's kind of bland for my taste, but his in-ring work was good. He's very technical and detailed, right? Then he got over in WWE and got the Yes Chant going and kind of changed his style a little bit. Wasn't as reckless and, you know, killing himself out there, but he still ended up getting hurt a lot,
Several times, yeah.
Bro, I'm watching him now, and he's come back from like what was supposed to be career-ending concussions, and he ain't doing nothing to protect himself out there.
Bro, not only that,
he's got a broken
orbital bone, which I'm sure is healing. He just put the eye patch over that. That's kind of crazy.
It is, but it kind of feeds into that fan base. They like that. And me as a performer, and like they used to wrestle safe and done like, see, bro, I would not be happy if anybody ever gets hurt. And I like actually preach, hey guys, take it easy up there. I don't want to watch you getting hurt, because it's uncomfortable for me watching guys do stupid shit out there and getting hurt. I'm watching Bryan Danielson wrestle, and I'm like, dude, what are you? I would pull him aside backstage and go, dude, why are you doing this? You're way too physical out there. Your matches are way too physical. It's just, I don't know if you what got you hurt before, but you're going to get hurt again. You're out there with a you broke your face recently, and now you're coming back, and not only did you not slow it down a little bit and work more, bro, you have the crowd. You don't have to do all this physical Japanese stuff or anything. It's like, dude, I'm looking at the guy. I'm like, I keep saying this all the time. Are you in this to wrestle for the Meltzer stars now? Because that's all you're doing. You're not protecting yourself. You're not working with the crowd more. You're not, you know, taking your time. You're out there just doing these brutal physical matches, and, you know, and they're doing the angle afterwards with the doctors coming out, and like you're selling it, bro. That's not good TV. It's making people like, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
I'm uncomfortable watching you perform.
Yeah.
That's not what you want to be doing right now. When your company is looking for fans, it's having people look in their, the watch is like, Jesus Christ. We know wrestling's fake.
Just elaborate real quick on that, D.I., is that you're not talking about big pay-per-view main events. You're talking about Brian on Dynamite, Rampage, whatever
Collision.
Else.
Collision, you know, you're wrestling, right. Yeah. I'm like, you know, Jesus Christ.
I've had friends text me that are, you know, fans with that sentiment. What is Brian thinking? What is Brian doing? That's the truth, you know? So
think about that, Brian. You know, you got people that you're making people uncomfortable watching you. You're not promoting the product. You're causing people to actually turn the channel because they're kind of getting upset watching you. It's not the way you want to do this. You know, go ahead. You got a comment on that, Conan? Am I right, or am I overanalyzing?
Well, I just think that there's a little bit of everything. There's probably people like you, and I feel the same way. I'm like, damn, bro, you don't have to be doing that much. You're already over, right? But there's probably people that are like, yeah, you're a warrior. You know, yeah, fuck yeah, Bryan Danielson. You know, and maybe he's just like, fuck it. This is what I love to do.
And we're the Blackpool Combat Club. Yeah, right. You know,
whatever. You know what I'm saying? I
mean, yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah. Because how imagine trying to tell Eddie or Chris Benoit to slow down.
Yeah. Joe, try to pull these up. I'm gonna mention some names here. When I do mention the names,
okay. Yeah, I know what you mean. Go ahead.
All right. It's from Eddie Hogan, because I saw the girl one here.
Yep.
Eddie Hogan, subject is Dem Boys. I think we can all finally remember the endless sold-out stadium shows and massive record-breaking TV ratings that Ring of Honor would draw with the Briscoes on top. They were the biggest draws in wrestling history. We all know the people like Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Roman, John Cena, and Stone Cold Steve Austin's drawing ability and mainstream celebrity status is nothing compared to the Briscoes, right? Right? So we've put two rights in there. This, of course, according to people like Mickey James, Mike Bennett, and Uber Mark, Dax Harwood. By the way, Dax Harwood took a shot at me on Twitter the other day, Conan. What happened?
Could I hear this?
I'm going to finish this email, then we're going to get to that. Right.
Right.
I'm on
For those who don't know what I'm talking about, the Fox Twitter account recently tweeted a photo of Lashley's crew with the title Dem Boys, which, would you know it, has every Meghan Markle on Twitter crying that's disrespectful. How? No one knows who the F the Briscoes are, apart from the nerds like me, and I didn't even know who they were called Dem Boys. K100 team, I'd also love to know your takes on the latest issue that just makes me shake my head at the IWC once again. What did Mickey James and Mike Bennett and Dax Harwood say about this? You got the tweets, show?
Yeah, so Mickey, I'll go back to her because she tweeted a few times, but all Dax did was he retweeted Mark's tweet about Dem Boys, and he put, only one 13 times top five dead or alive OG Dem Boys, the Briscoes. And that seems to be all he really said about it.
Right.
Okay. Well, I don't know why that's such a big deal. And Mickey said the comments alone, I mean, how comfortable people are being disrespected and disrespecting others, all for a fake like on a soulless app. I'm aware it's a tweet. I'm aware the boys also, my friends, didn't post it. I'm aware a brother and friend is still grieving. You should too. And a couple of times she put out like, hey, everybody calm down, because Dem Boys has been around since a German comic strip in 1915. So let's take it easy. And then who was the other guy from the Kingdom?
Mike Bennett.
Oh, Mike Bennett. Okay.
Friend of the show, Mike Bennett. He came on. Remember Mike Bennett had an issue with something? I said, let's bring him on. We had a good, respectful conversation with the show.
Yeah. He was a good dude.
Yeah. For anybody that all these people that think I'm like some toxic guy and everything, it's like if you disagree with me, we're only come on the show. We'll bring you on the show if you're famous enough. You know,
Man, sometimes the narrative is stronger than the truth.
Right. Do you want to hear the Dax Harwood tweet? Okay, so he tweeted about like, hey, basically he tweeted an original tweet about how he's been wrestling on Rampage, but you know, back in the day he could watch like, you know, the Mantar and stuff, anything, right? So somebody tweeted the tweet got taken down because of I guess the person blocked me. I don't know. But so Uncle Dax tweeted again, I will not make a comment about a wrestling plumber because lots of people called for death on my last lighthearted quote tribalistic joke tweet. You're right. T.L. Hopper, Freddie Joe Floyd, Mantar, Fake Razor Diesel, Disco Inferno, Glacier, Duke the Dumpster Drozzy, The Yeti, The Goon, Isaac Yankem, Oz, and Shotmaxer were all great gimmicks, and wrestling sucks today, especially FTR. He's being sarcastic there, right? But we know what he's trying to do. Anyway, watch AEW Rampage tonight. So he's taking a shot at me and dumping my gimmick in there with those guys, right? So I had to tweet, okay? And this is actually pretty funny. The wrestling, I tweeted this. I said, Wrestling Observer Awards, but quote, best gimmick. And this is from the Wrestling Observer Awards, best gimmick from 1987 through 1999, right? I said, so this post is clear misinformation. I put at helpful notes, like commuter notes. I want him to correct that. Right? Okay. Yeah. These were the best gimmicks in wrestling. Okay. I'm going to read them to you. Conan, you want to hear these, Conan?
Yeah.
He's got voted the Wrestling Observer.
Dave?
Well, the rest of the Observer readers.
The right? Voters, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
1987, Ted DiBiase.
Agreed.
1988, Rick Steiner. I think it was a dog-faced gremlin then. Or he may have been doing the thing with Mike Rotundo with the college, the varsity club.
Yeah, the varsity club.
He was actually a pretty good gimmick back then. That was actually entertaining.
Yeah.
1989, Jushin Liger.
Right.
1990, 1991, 1992, 1993, and 1994, all the Undertaker. Hmm. So somebody tweeted this. After this case, somebody said, wow, it looks like Disco was the original guy that broke the Undertaker streak. Because in 1995, the Disco Inferno was the best gimmick, breaking the five-year run of the Undertaker. What do you think about me breaking the Undertaker, being the first guy to break the Undertaker streak, Conan?
That's tremendous. So you need to make a shirt.
Disco Inferno. I should actually did 1990, 91, 92, take it, then cross it all out and put 95 Disco. I broke the streak. Yeah, actually, tell Joe, tell Durbin to take that and try to make me a T-shirt, like something entertaining like that.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Afterwards, in 1996, NWO, 1997, 1998.
Joe, what he's got to put is Gimmick of the Year. Is that what it was called?
Gimmick of the Year, Best Gimmick. Wrestling Observer Awards, Best Gimmick.
Okay,
yeah.
Best Gimmick of the Year, or Wrestling Observer, whatever, right? And then put all the years Undertaker, and then maybe cross it out and then put Disco Breaks the Streak 1995.
That's funny.
Disco Inferno 316, I Just Broke Your Streak. Because in 1997, 1998, Stone Cold Steve Austin was the best gimmick. In 1990, take a wild guess who the 1999 the best gimmick was.
Jericho.
1999?
Yes. After Stone Cold was 97 to 98.
Rock, Jericho. Yep,
Rock, the Rock.
Rock.
Yeah. That's good. Look, this is good company. Think about from 1990 for a period of 10 years. These five things were the best gimmicks. Undertaker, NWO, Stone Cold, Rock, and me. That's pretty funny if you think about it, right?
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.